OBM, Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team, it's unconditional. Make your number one pick the preferred document services provider of the Browns, OBM. With OBM's exclusive guarantees and their designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town, they've made unconditional fans out of all of their customers. Only OBM has all the X's and O's for your office when putting together a Sharp products playbook for your business. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com. Today, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Juravicius with you on this edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Getting ready for the Raiders. It's a Call Your Shot Friday, and Stan in Brooklyn is with us to do just that.
Thanks very much for taking my call.
You got it, Stan. What's on your mind, bro?
Well, you know, this Sunday game I'm going to miss. Tickets are going over to the relatives. Let them enjoy the game. But for me personally, everybody needs to step up here. I'd like to see number one. I'd like to see three interceptions and three touchdowns. Three interceptions last week, and you come away with 3 points. Give me a break, you know. And I pray for Brian Hoyer because, you know what, he's from the area. I love the guy. I think he deserves to do good.
I hope he does well. We all want him to.
My prediction is they're going to squeeze this one out 20-17.
2017 Browns. Yeah. All right, a win is a win. We will take that. Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Will in Cleveland now. Will, welcome to the show.
How you guys doing today?
Good. How are you, Will?
Good, man.
Good. I'm going to call my shot Cleveland 24, Oakland 13.
All right.
Dansby needs to step up. I mean, if he wants to do that kind of stuff, do it in the locker room. Why is Joe Fan got to hear about that?
Do what kind of stuff? What are you referring to?
I heard him in an interview calling out gap coverage and some other things, kind of throwing his teammates under the bus. I didn't like that. I think that's locker room stuff, and that's not doing us any good. But home field's going to do it for us this week, and last week we learned an awful lot. Thanks for taking my call.
We certainly did. Thank you. Guys, what do you think about that? I mean, I think Carlos Dansby's coming here. He's been a consummate professional. He's been a leader of this defense. He's been a playmaker. He leads this team in sacks right now. Already has an interception. I keep throwing out the one stat that I think it's cool. Only players in the NFL with 3 sacks and 1 interception on the season are Dansby, J.J. Watt, and Julius Peppers. So I think he's coming in, been an impact player, been one of the best players on this defense. And I think he was just kind of talking about what's going on. I mean, a lot of the guys are saying gap integrity has been a big problem up front. I think that's to a man. They know that. What do you think about the perception that that's something you should only say in the locker room or as opposed to interviews? Because I've heard it from a lot of guys that I've interviewed down there. You know, it's the details. We're not staying in our gaps. And I've heard it from all 3 levels of the defense.
When you look at that locker room, you think the 2 big voices that were brought here this offseason are Dante Whitner and Carlos Dansby. And they have, I think Carlos Dansby out of those two has backed up most of his talking. And I think that, you know, he has become that, both that physical leader on the football field and also, too, the vocal leader in that locker room as well. So he gets a lot of respect. And I think if there's anybody in that locker room defensively that has a right to say that, it is him, because he has come here to be a part of the shift in this organization, not just to collect a paycheck towards the end of his career and make some good money and drift off into the distance. He wants to do something very special personally. And he knows that it takes the guys around him to do so and also do something very special as a team. So if anybody has a right to say it, it's him, because he, as a middle linebacker, has, you know, the front in front of him either not doing their job. And so he's able to, you know, call them out in some cases. And then he's got the communication with the guys on the back end, you know, that are letting some of those passes be caught, or some of the struggles in coverage as well. So if there were anybody to say something, I think it would be him, because he gets the ear of his players best.
Matt, would you like to collect his paycheck?
Yes.
Okay.
I would as well.
Me too. But now, listen, here's another thing, too. When you lose, everything is magnified.
Right.
Quarterback, linebacker, defense, receivers, offensive line, running backs, the entire team, the coaching staff, decisions, everything is magnified. I have zero problem with a veteran, especially somebody of his stature, to come in there and kind of say something. I have no problem with somebody questioning gap integrity or assignment, anything, because if you're a true professional, you're going to make sure those things get corrected, because nobody likes to be called out. Nobody likes to be questioned.
Nobody likes to lose.
Nobody likes to lose. So that's the point, is no problem. You know what? Say anything you need to say to me to get me motivated or to make me study or prepare that much longer or harder. But that type of stuff on a team can be healthy.
You're right. And I think, you know, the one thing that we don't have is you look at the Chicago Bears with, you know, Brandon Marshall going crazy on camera after a loss, in some cases directing comments directly to Jay Cutler or other guys and naming names. That's when it gets really personal. That's when that elephant creeps its way into the locker room. And Joe's absolutely right. Losing magnifies that. You can still call out. And again, it happened to Justin Gilbert early in the season. His DBs, Joe Hayden and Buster Screen, saying, hey, dude, you're a rookie, but you're held to a higher standard because we took you in the first round, number 8th overall. We expect better from you. So, and that's when you talk about that tough love. All Carlos Dansby's doing is giving him and his mates some tough love, like, dude, we're better than this. Let's get it right.
It's the National right. Football League, NFL, not for long if you keep doing things the wrong way, right?
It's exactly right, Jerry Glanville. I love that, the NFL. Not for long, but I think it's healthy. I think this is a team, part of what Carlos Dansby was brought here to do, part of what Dante Whitner was brought here to do, is help change the culture. There are a lot of people in this locker room that don't know winning, period. They've never seen it, and they're okay with losing because it's just been what they've known. And to have somebody say, okay, this isn't okay, and this is what we need to do, and I don't care if I have to call you out. I'm going to play hard. I'm going to lead by example, but I'm going to help you get your mind right so that we can all turn this thing around, because I think that's what it's about, and I think that's the motivation from Carlos Dansby.
You know, Nate, the year that I was in Tampa, my years in Tampa, I remember when Warren Sapp would call out Keyshawn Johnson, and two of the best to play the game. I mean, you know, one's in the Hall of Fame and one of them's doing television big time right now, but they were both great football players. And Warren, talking to another all-star, held him accountable. Listen, you should be here. If we need to be here, you need to be here. And I thought there was some validity in that. I think if you're going to be a true professional team, build the camaraderie, do all the things, learn the little things that turn into the big things, you have to be there again. So when you have all-stars calling out people, you know, all pros calling out people, I have zero problem with it, because as a young guy, you better pay attention, because the reason these guys are all pros and they're constantly going to Hawaii is because they're doing things
right.
The right way.
And as we close the book on this topic, lastly, is Carlos Dansby also knows he has to rely on those other 10 guys on the football field to play well so that he too can flourish within this defense. You know, if the defense plays well and the team wins football games, everybody looks great, you know. And when the defensive line's not doing their job, who do they point the finger at? They point the linebacker's not hitting the gap fast enough. And if Carlos Dansby as a linebacker is caught guessing, is he going to go front side or is he going to stay on the backside of that double team? I don't know, and I can't trust that guy in front of me. So by him telling them in the locker room and then verbalizing it when asked the proper question, there is nothing wrong with it, because Carlos Dansby is coming from the best place.
There's nothing wrong with it, and quite frankly, the defensive line has been the biggest disappointment of this team by far.
Absolutely.
They get no pressure. They have one
no
sack
push
from an active guy. They got two total on the season. Armani Bryant had one. Dez Bryant has one. And it was supposed to be the deepest part of this team. It was supposed to be the part that was going to set the tone for this defense. And right now we have the worst run defense in the NFL, and we get zero pressure from the line. I'd call the D-line out too. They need to step it up.
Hey, and do it right now.
Hey, you know what?
Come on, D-line.
Listen, you know what needs to be done? We need to win, because after we beat Pittsburgh, it was all loves and hugs in here. And
that's
this
right.
Week, everybody wants to beat somebody up, so we need to win this.
That's
weekend.
Right, win. Kumbaya, let's go. Let's get a nice W, and we'll all sing Kumbaya here on Monday.
Kool-Aid.
Exactly. Let's go to Sam in Maple Heights now. Sam, welcome to CBD.
Guys, how you doing? Love
Good.
The show.
Thank you.
Good. Before I get my take, I just wanted to be known that I'm a huge Brown fan. And I honestly feel that the loss of Mac was a lot bigger than people realize, because it really affected three spots. Our center, right guard, and right tackle. And I just don't think we could run the ball right now or stop the run. The two big things that got us through wins. If I'm the Raiders, I'm looking at the Browns like, Jacksonville just did it. Why can't we? And I think this might be a trap game for the Browns, man. And I honestly see us losing because we got nobody to throw the ball to. Jordan Cameron is getting double-teamed, triple-teamed everywhere you look. And it's just Brian Hoyer is last in the NFL in completion percentage. And I honestly think we need a spark. And if we lose this week, we're going to Johnny, man. We got no choice.
All right. Well, a lot of the reason why I don't feel that we will see the same type of game the Jacksonville Jaguars gave us last week is because The Oakland Raiders do not have the personnel. Again, Nathan highlighted it earlier in the week, but you know, Justin Tuck, Lamar Woodley, who's not even going to play. Charles Woodson, 17 years. This is an elderly defense who's being held together by Band-Aids, trying to stop young dynamic offenses, and that's exactly what I think we're going to see. We're going to see the young legs of Tate Crowell and potentially West run the football. And I've been very adamant about it all week, is if we can figure out whatever configuration we're going to play on the offensive line, I want to hone that in and go with it and just be very confident in our play calling, because I believe in the creativity of Kyle Shanahan to get back and open up those no-name wide receivers, as our caller just said, and get Jordan Cameron, who's not seeing double and triple team.
He's
just not getting open. He's not running away from coverage. And be very frank, he's missing Josh Gordon clearing out and getting a lot of attention too. So he's getting a little bit more attention. And I do, in fact, believe that Brian Hoyer will step up and return to form as the consistent not game manager we know him as.
I firmly believe that the offensive line, as our offensive line goes, we go. We all know that.
Yep.
At least on the offensive side of the ball. That as they go, we're going to go as an offense. I would see the Browns, they're not no-name receivers. They may not be an all-star cast, but when you talk about Miles Austin, this guy's made numerous
couple
catches
Pro Bowls
over a long career so far, and
yep,
he's not done. And again, I would rather have Miles Austin out there right now than any one of the receivers that are playing for Oakland right now, because, listen, the catches he's making are, they mean something. They're first downs, or some tough catches when Brian's getting some zip on the ball. Again, I think as our offensive line goes, this whole thing gets corrected. We right the ship. There's no question about that.
This is the referendum game. If the offensive line comes out and lays an egg against this Raiders team, then I think it is time to be very concerned. I think what happened in Jacksonville was they were just on that day better, physical, more physical. Derek Marks had his way with Paul McQuiston pretty much all afternoon. This game, though, you're not going to have that. This is a game where the offensive line needs to show up, and if they do, I think we'll be fine. If they don't, though, I'm going to be very concerned about that group going forward and what that means for our offense in general going forward. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue the phone calls, 216-578-0850 on a Call Your Shot Friday. Who needs to step up for the Cleveland Browns to get this victory? Let us know. Zagura, Wilhelm, Juravicious, CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.